It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Mobile World Congress, happening this week in Barcelona, Spain, serves as a launchpad for lots of new products. And since it's outside of the U.S., those product launches usually don't look the same way they do at similar events here in the States. One of the estimated 85,000 people at MWC this year is CNET executive editor Roger Cheng. He says one of the standouts has come from China.
You know, a company called Huawei, which is a big Chinese telecom company and handset manufacturer. I think they wowed a lot of people with the smartwatch, the Huawei watch, which looks very much like an actual watch. It looks like a really classic timepiece, and it's kind of hard to tell that. It's got a lot of electronics and a lot of software packed into it, and so I think it surprisingly impressed a lot of people who saw it.
Roger, is there anything else that you've seen that's interesting coming out at the conference that comes from a U.S. company?
The American car maker Ford is actually here in Spain at a phone show to debut two electric bikes.
Are they like smart bikes or something?
Yeah, exactly. They're smart bikes that they're able to connect to your iPhone 6. They're actually pretty cool. They've got sensors in the rear that detect cars coming from behind, and it'll actually vibrate your seat so you'll know that there's something behind you. And then it'll flash the rear lights to warn the driver to not get too close.
It sounds cool, but I don't know. I am worried about the idea of haptic feedback for your butt.
That's where the future's going.
Roger Cheng is executive editor at CNET. Roger, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Two new phones have been launched with great fanfare at Mobile World Congress. One of them is from HTC, which also released a virtual reality headset to go with the device. The other is from Samsung. The Samsung Galaxy 6 and Galaxy 6 Edge phones are aimed at challenging Apple's iPhone 6 on a number of design fronts, including mobile payment technology. Marketplace's Nova Safo takes a look.
Say you're at the grocery store and, oops, you've forgotten your wallet. No problem. You may be able to use your smartphone, tap it against a special device at the cash register, and pay your bill. That is, if there is such a device. Very few retailers actually have them.
Right now, you know, we're in that chicken and egg.
James Wester is a global payments analyst at IDC.
Nobody really wants to tap to pay because there aren't any terminals, and nobody's buying terminals because nobody's asking to tap to pay.
So what's lost in the interim? A cut of the more than $30 billion in credit card transaction fees. And while companies like Apple wait it out, Samsung is skipping the chicken and the egg. Tim Sloan is a payments analyst at Mercator Advisory Group.
They've implemented a technology that radiates magnetic energy from your phone directly into the existing terminals.
So those millions of existing credit card terminals think a Samsung phone is just another card. Sloan says that could give Samsung an advantage for several years to come. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Miles O'Brien is a science correspondent for PBS NewsHour. He says these days we're making leaps and bounds forward when it comes to prosthetic technology. It's an area of interest for him. He had part of his arm amputated last year. Hi, Miles.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Tell me a little bit about the accident where you lost your arm.
Well, it was quite a fluke. I had been on a reporting trip and a case fell on my arm. And a bruise turned into something potentially life-threatening called acute compartment syndrome. And by the time I got to a doctor, it was unfortunately too late to save my arm.
Do you use a prosthesis now?
I do, and I don't. I have one that I use for bicycling, and I have one that I use when I'm driving a car or when I'm on assignment. But on a day-to-day basis, I've learned how to get through the day with one arm.
And that's because essentially the technology isn't far enough along yet to be versatile enough for your daily life?
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. The challenge of replacing the human arm, and in particular the human hand, is tremendous. When you think about what a hand does for you, that's a huge engineering challenge.
How do you accomplish that with modern technology?
It's not easy, but it's good that the technology that is applied here is also useful in other areas. Battery technology has improved, sensor technology has improved, and there have been some interesting advancements in the realm of pattern recognition. Computers that are able to identify the patterns in the remaining muscles in my stump and a computer can understand that that pattern means I want to move my wrist or my finger. And so I can think about doing those things, and something that's made of silicon and metal and plastic will do my bidding.
Where do you come down on the issue of whether or not that arm should be more powerful than the limb that you lost?
Well, this gets into an interesting discussion, and it's been harder to get to that point with upper limb. I look forward to the day when we have this quandary. I do know that the arm I tried out at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, which is the most sophisticated arm in the world, the specifications are to match what a 23-year-old Marine rifleman would have lost. This is an arm that can curl more than 50 pounds, and I couldn't do that with what I lost. This $6 million man notion, you know, we can rebuild him, we can make him better. You know, that's still in the realm of fiction, but we're approaching a crossover point where that may change.
Miles O'Brien is science correspondent for PBS NewsHour. Miles, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure.
By the way, we are again headed to South by Southwest Interactive in Austin, Texas this month, and we want your questions about the event. If you tweet them to us at Marketplace Tech, we'll answer them as soon as we get to Taco Town. Look forward to hearing from you. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.